Do any of you have a friend or friends? Do you? You know, that's nice to have friends, isn't it? I remember back in Walla Walla, this was several years ago, there was a young boy who had just started grade school, and my dad kind of liked to tease him and put him on his knee. And, you know, he picked that boy up one time at meeting, and he put him on his knee, and he said, Teddy, do you have any friends at school? And he said, no, I just play with other people's friends. But you know, I don't want you to tell me the answer to this question, but I want to ask each of you children here this morning, can you say that Jesus is your friend? I want you to think about that in your heart. And like I say, you don't have to answer me, but I want you to answer that in the presence of God. Is Jesus your friend? Well, does someone else have another one? Okay. Well, you know, before we pray, I don't think he'll mind me mentioning this, but, you know, when I was setting these eggs up here this morning, Uncle Ernie Monk, you may not know him, but he comes from the same meeting that we do. You might know him because he can make a lot of different animal sounds, but, you know, he came up here and he started helping me with the eggs, and he said, you know, I think maybe he thought I was going to break them because of how much I was shaking. But he said, you know what, Andy, you're almost as nervous as I am. And I said, well, that's right, because I was standing outside and I heard that he had been asked to have the gospel tonight. And, you know, I know that you children aren't going to probably go down to the prayer for the gospel tonight. Usually the brothers, the older brothers are the ones that go there. But, you know, you can pray for him today, because that's an encouragement for anyone who's going to stand up and speak. So if you think to, you might pray for Uncle Ernie tonight as he preaches the gospel. Well, let's pray. Before I speak on what's on my heart, is there someone here who wanted to say the verse? Oh, okay, go ahead. I don't know what it is, so I can't help you, but... Very good. Thank you. No one else? Okay. You know, I wonder if any of you boys and girls this morning, excuse me, if any of you have counted the number of eggs up here. Has anyone counted them yet? How many? I'm sorry, I don't know you. Okay. All right. How many?
12.
There's 12. That's right. That's good. Now, you know, I'm thinking of a time in the Scriptures where there was actually 13 people who came together to keep a feast. The 13th person was the Lord Jesus. So I'll give you that clue. There was 13 men in this room. Does anyone have any idea what I would be thinking of? Well, I'll give you another clue. The other 12 people were all men. All men. Anyone want to? Okay.
The Last Supper.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. And you know, I think of the Lord Jesus sitting there, and there was 12 men sitting there with him. But you know what? There was something different about one of those men. Thank you, John. There was something different about one of those men. Does anybody tell me what the man's name was and what was different about him? Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said at that Passover? He said, "One of you shall betray me." And what did they start to say? They began to say, "Well, Lord, is it I?" And you know, I'm thinking this morning, you know, here's these 12 eggs. And I look and here's all these children. It reminds me of you. You're just here in a row. But you know, I wonder if everybody here is in the same condition. And you know, as I look at you outwardly, you all look similar. You're all dressed up this morning. But you know, there's something I can't see. Now, is there anybody here with really good eyes? You have really good eyes? Would you mind if I tested how good they were? Okay. All right, would you go back and walk to the back of the room there? Do you know how to read? Okay. Walk to the back of the room and could you read this verse right over Jason Sutherland's head there? Clear back there at the very back. Okay, that's enough. Okay, now come up here. Okay, now can you come right up here? What is your name?
Delaney.
I'm sorry?
Delaney.
Delaney? Okay. Delaney, can you look these eggs over and tell me if there's anything different about any of them? I know these two are kind of sitting cockeyed, but I'm not talking about that. Can you look them over? They all look the same to you? They don't.
Some of them.
Uh-huh. Does any one of them look different than the rest? Okay, which one would that be?
Can I show you a few?
No, just one. But you can't pick them up or anything. You can't touch them. But just point to the one that looks different to you than the rest of the eggs. That one. Okay. Is there any others there that look any different to you? All kind of look a little bit different, but they're all pretty close to the same. There may be a little different size, a little different shape, maybe a little different shade of white, but they're pretty similar, aren't they? Well, you know what? There's something in this row of eggs. There's one of those eggs that's drastically different than the rest of the eggs. Now, you can go sit down for right now, and I'll ask you to help me a little later. What were you going to say? How different they were? Oh, you want to show me which one's different? Okay, you can come on up and point to that one. I see. Okay. Did you want to point out which one's different? That one, okay. You know what? You've got pretty sharp eyes. Now you can sit down. Let's open our Bibles to a very well-known verse in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Now, you know, children, the burden on my heart this morning is that, you know, more or less last yesterday, I think you all pretty well heard the same thing. But, you know, sometimes you'll go to a conference and you may meet somebody there that you saw there maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. And maybe it's the parents, and you remember they had some children with them. And you come up to one of the parents or maybe one of the brothers or sisters, and you say, Where's your brother Joey? Maybe they say, "Well, Joey needs, you need to pray for Joey. You need to pray for Sally." And I think, And maybe if you talk on a little longer, depending on how close you are to the person, because this can be kind of painful, they might say, "You know, we're not sure if Joey or Sally is saved. You know, when you think of Judas, he heard everything that those other 11 disciples heard. He went everywhere they went. He saw, I would suppose, most everything that they saw that the Lord Jesus did. But I want to ask a question here. Is Judas today, is he in the presence of the Lord Jesus? Is he in paradise or is he in hell? Austin?
No.
Judas is in hell. And you know, you think to yourself, well, you know, everyone heard the same thing. All of you, I suppose, heard the gospel that was given here last night. But what has been your response to that gospel? Now, let's look at another verse in this same chapter, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The question to you children is, this morning is, did you believe what you heard last night? Did you believe that? Did you believe what God told you about yourself and about Himself in the word that was preached last night? That's the question. Now, you know, we read here that the Word of God can penetrate into places that our eyes cannot penetrate. Now, we had a couple of children guess here, and you know what? They guessed wrong. Their eyes could see these eggs, but what couldn't they see? Austin?
The inside.
They couldn't see the inside. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I can't see inside of any of you. And no one else in this room can, but God can. You know, I would like to look now at a woman who realized that God knew all about her. Let's go to John chapter 4. Gospel of John chapter 4. And this woman would be what would be considered, she was in her day, and she would be considered perhaps not so much today because of our society, but she was considered a bad woman. And she knew that. She knew what others thought of her, and that's why she went to the well to draw water at a little different time than everyone else. Have any of you boys ever been riding bikes and maybe you built a jump and you were going off the jump? Have you ever done that? Have you? Yeah, sometimes if they make the jump really high and it's your turn and you're not sure if you can go over it without going over the handlebars, you might say, I just don't want to do it. And I say, well, why not? I think it's dumb. But what's the real reason that you don't want to go over it? You're scared. But why don't you tell them that when they ask you? Say, well, go ahead. And you say, no. Why not? Why don't you say, well, I'm scared. Why don't you do that? You know, I think I can answer the question for you because I'm just the same as you are. We don't really like for people to know what's going on inside of us. We don't care for that. And you know, this woman had never met the Lord Jesus until that day. And he met her there at the well. And in verse 17 of John 4, or verse 16, the Lord Jesus says, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And this thou sayest truly. How would you like it? You know, coming down I-25, I noticed as you're coming into Denver off to the right, there's a huge stadium. It's called Invesco, I think, Stadium. And I don't know if I'm right on this, but I heard that stadium can seat 75,000 people. You know, the town where I come from, you could almost empty out the town and put 2 towns in that, if that's the case. But you know, supposing after a sporting event, they let me come up to the microphone, and let's go to another verse in John 4 here, and this is what I said. See if I can find it. In verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Now, do you suppose that if I got up to the microphone and I said, everyone here in the stadium is invited to come to Klamath Street to see a man who can tell you everything that you've ever done in your life, do you suppose that that stadium would empty out and everyone would pour in here to have told to them everything they've done in their life? What do you think? You think they would all come here in a hurry so that they could hear everything that they had ever done in their life? What do you think, Austin? I don't think so. You know, that's kind of a strange gospel to preach. She goes back to the men of the city and she says, come. But you know what? I thought I would have said something like, come hear a man. But she said, come see a man. And you know, I've enjoyed it in this way. I wonder if she said, come see a man. If you'll turn with me to Mark chapter 10. While you're turning there, the little girl who helped me, I'm terrible at remembering names, but could you come up here? You know, what would be the feeling of this woman if the Lord Jesus had just told her, you know, you've had 5 husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband, and he'd have turned around and walked away? Well, you know what you basically would have had? Now, I don't want to make a big mess here, but I want to take that knife and break that.
Break it?
Yeah. You know, what the Lord Jesus showed is that He opened that woman up and there was a big void inside. And you know, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus, that's the same case with you. There's a big void inside. But you know what? He's not going to leave you there. Because yes, He does know all about you. Thank you. You can sit down. He does know all about you. But let's read Mark 10 and verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And that's where we'll stop. I want to ask you a question. If the Lord Jesus loved that young man, do you think that young man could see it in the face of the Lord Jesus? Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Do you think he could see that in the face of the Lord Jesus? I think he could. I think he could see the love of God shining in the face of Jesus. And so that's why, I wonder, if that's why the woman said to them, come see a man. Because even as he told her all about herself, she realized that he loved her. Children, we sang this morning twice, Jesus loves me. Have you really believed that in your heart, that Jesus loves you? You know, let's turn to Psalm 139, the last passage. And you know, the psalmist starts out and he says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. And he realizes that the Lord knows all about him. And the thought of that makes him want to flee. And he thinks of different places he could go, different places he could hide. And he begins to realize that, you know what? It's of no use. There's nowhere I can go where he can't see me and can't know all about me. But you know, as you go through that psalm, then you begin to see a change. And one of the nicest things, and I wonder if this is what touched the heart of that woman, verse 17 of Psalm 139 says, how precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Children, do you realize that in spite of the fact that God knows everything that you've done, that still He loves you and wants you to put your faith and trust in His beloved Son? Well, you know, it's beautiful the way the psalm ends up in verse 23. It's an invitation of the psalmist. It says, search me. Now it's not, Thou hast searched me, where can I run? But now there's confidence in God. The conscience, your conscience is set at rest in peace. And there's the invitation, search me. And you know, I want to ask every one of us, including myself this morning, we might be here, we might be saved. But is there something that perhaps is in your heart or mind that would hinder you or me from saying, search me, O God? Well, that's a question that you might say each of us have to answer in the presence of the Lord Jesus. But children, remember this. If you don't remember anything else, that there may be a void, as there was in this egg. There may be a void in your heart, and there is if you don't know the Lord Jesus. But remember, He loves you. And though He may open it up, yet it's to fill you with Christ and to set you at peace in His presence.